Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going.
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Welcome to the Prophetic News Radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And this is Susan Puzio. And I wanted to let you know also that we do have a website, propheticnews.com. We have a YouTube channel, and it's under my name, Susan Puzio. This is a live call-in program today, so if you'd like to call in, and if you have a question or a comment about our topics, the call-in number is 914-338-1638, and you can also listen to the program on your phone, and all the programs are archived, so if you miss it during the live portion, you can go back and listen to any of our hundreds of programs that we have done going on now almost 5.5 years since we began. So we've had many wonderful guests, great topics, and hopefully we can bring you more informative programs in the future. So today we are going to be talking a little bit about the death of Miles Monroe, a preacher from the Bahamas. And who was Miles Monroe? I'm going to be playing some clips. These are actually some audio recordings from him personally, so you will hear words coming out of his own mouth that were very bizarre, I must say. Very much in the false teacher heresy range. And my condolences to the family. Of course, there were two children that were left behind, and it has to be devastating for them to lose both of their parents at one time in such a ghastly way as to be killed in a airplane crash. I guess, you know, they had no idea because they were landing the plane, and the plane hit a crane, and it exploded in the air. So it was ghastly, really terrible way to go. So there was 9 people aboard, and one of the ladies that was aboard was pregnant, so there was actually 10 people that lost their lives that day. And really, we never know when our time is up on this earth. So, yes, I'm going to be saying hi to everybody in the chat room. Hi, everybody. Glad you can be with me today. We are going to be talking about some of the things in the news this week. A friend of mine went to the Washington Cathedral. And, of course, we know that the Washington Cathedral is not a Christian church. They claim to be a Christian church, but they allow, I think recently they have allowed homosexual marriages. They have allowed homosexuals to come and preach, I put it in quotes. And recently, this weekend, they had a Muslim prayer service. So I found it interesting, and I think one of the interesting things that someone had mentioned about this was that I doubt seriously if ever in the history of a Muslim mosque that a real Christian was allowed to go in there and pray audibly. So I don't think that would ever happen. And we know that even recently, if you say you're a Christian, especially if you convert from being a Muslim to being a Christian, you could be arrested and sentenced to death. So they have absolutely no tolerance for Christianity in most of the Muslim countries. I think some of them do tolerate it and do allow it, but not in the more radical countries. So and no matter what they say, you cannot erase some of the things that are said in the Quran. And every Muslim knows what's said in the Quran for the most part. So they can't, no matter what they say or how nice they might be, there's still that book that is very worrisome to us. And we do worry about the beliefs. We do worry about the insanity that some of the beliefs cause people, the insane actions that are caused by some people that believe what the Quran says. So, yeah, right, amen. There's no such thing as a moderate Muslim, and there isn't. Anybody that would, any religion or so-called religion that would kill people because they don't join their religion, that's not a God you want to serve. And I make this invitation to any of any Muslims that might be listening. Come on over to our side. We have a God of love. We don't have a God that tells us to kill people so we can get to heaven and go to paradise and have wives in paradise or husbands in paradise, however it goes. I don't know what the women get. But women are terribly discriminated against in these countries. It's ridiculous that women have to wear burqas. Did you ever see these costumes that they make women wear? Like, women are the guilty parties. God forbid that you should show your ankle or your arms or your face. They totally cover their face. There's just holes for the eyes. And they have to dress like this with these dresses to their wrists and to the floor because God forbid that they should cause a man to lust. Well, if a man lusts, that's his problem. He's got a problem. If looking at a wrist bone or an ankle could cause a man to stumble, then please, you're the one that needs to repent. Like, why don't they have to always pick on women? Why don't they make the men wear these get-ups if they're having such a problem? And they allow men to have more than one wife. They can have up to four wives or even more than one wife. Who's lusting after who? So it's ridiculous. Even in my neighborhood, and this is a small county, of over 200,000 people, and there is a mosque here in our county. And when you go to some of the stores around, you see some of the women. And this is Florida, so in the summer you don't need a coat, but they're wearing coats that are down to the floor. And the coat sleeve comes down to their wrist, and they've got their head covered. So when I see them, I just want to say to them, wow, you don't have to dress like that. This is Florida in the summer. Like, be free, you know. Of course, I believe in modest dressing. Yes, let's be modest, because we see enough immodesty in this day and time, and I think Christian women should set an example of modesty, but they're ridiculous. So anyway, you can't erase the Quran. So all this propaganda, and even one of the people there at this so-called prayer service that they had at this Washington Cathedral, saying that we all pray to the same God. No, we don't pray to the same God. Anybody can talk about God, but what God are you talking about? If you don't accept the Son, Jesus Christ, then you have no relationship with the Father, because you can't have a relationship with the Father without the Son. So the only God that they pray to is a dead God. That's not a living God, Muhammad. So anyway, I'm going to be playing some of these clips from Miles Monroe, and I'm sure that some people will wonder, okay, who will the real Miles Monroe please stand up? I didn't know myself until this week, as some people had posted some things up on Facebook about some of the things that Miles Monroe believed, and I didn't know that he had such way out beliefs. I never cared for his preaching. I don't think I ever spent 5 minutes listening to this man, even though he came to a church that I belonged to many years ago, back in the early 90s. And I didn't even go to the service because I didn't care for his preaching. And so I never bothered to listen to him. I just knew that he had a pretty good-sized ministry there in the Bahamas, and he spent a lot of time traveling and holding conferences. He also was the author of many books, and I guess he had the title Christian. He used that title, but he says some really bizarre things about Jesus, saying that he said Jesus never said anyone had to be born again. Oh, wow. Jesus didn't say that. So how did we get saved? I thought we got saved when we were born again. Didn't we have to be born again to get saved? So I'm wondering, and I'm very curious, and if anybody knows the answer to this question, did anybody at his church ever get born again? How did they lead people to Jesus at this church? What went on over there? I don't know. I'm like, okay, what do you do with the third chapter of John when Jesus himself said to Nicodemus, ye must be born again? Was that only something that he said to Nicodemus? And according to Miles Monroe, Jesus never said it to anybody else. Oh, he never said it. Oh, he never said it. Okay, so what happened to us? Did what happened to me in 1981 not really happen? I wasn't born again? Very interesting. So I'm going to play these clips from Miles Monroe so you can hear it yourself, what he actually had to say. And I found it very shocking. I was shocked when I heard these comments, because I didn't know he was so wacky. Really, really wacky. So here, let me play this clip for you.
It's about a kingdom. Therefore, our message, our good news, is not about Calvary. Our good news is not about even the resurrection. These are important aspects of the work of redemption, but these are not the good news. The only true gospel is the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, our message, our good news, is not about Calvary. Our good news is not about even the resurrection. So Satan's strategy against the church that Jesus founded 2,000 years ago was not to get them to do a bad thing, but to focus on getting them to do a good thing. So he slightly changed their message. You know, if you got a communication from somebody and it was slightly changed, you didn't get the right communication, did you? Well, that's what Satan has done to the church. Satan has slightly changed the message, and, you know, Satan doesn't want you to preach anything bad. But he had us preaching some good things, like Calvary, like the blood, like the resurrection, like healing, like the baptism in the Holy Spirit. In many big forums, challenge me when I make statements like this. Here's a statement. Jesus never preached, you must be born again. He never preached that. And yet, when I say that, the average well-conditioned Christian believer who have been well effectively brainwashed by the devil react to that negatively. Some even quote scripture. I remember in the fine state of Virginia, Beach, Virginia, I was in a room with some very intellectual people. Some of them you may know, very well-known Christian leaders from America. And I was on a panel, and they were discussing all kinds of wonderful things about the Bible, and they got on to talk about the gospel. And I was quiet because I was afraid to disrupt their theological gymnastics. And they noticed I was quiet, and they said, "What is your opinion?" And my answer was, "I have no opinion. But my government says that the gospel is not you must be born again." And the room was quiet. I said, Jesus never preached born again. Matter of fact, he only mentioned born again once in the entire four gospels. Once. I said, he preached it all the time, but he never preached it. Secondly, he never made that statement publicly to the multitudes. He never told the multitudes you must be born again. He never did. Now, I don't care what you say about that. That's right. It's not in the Bible. The good news is not Jesus. That's tough thing for you to hear. The good news is the kingdom. He said it himself.
Now, are you sitting there with your mouth hanging open? Because I know when I heard these words coming out of this man's mouth, I was shocked. Shocked. I never knew what Miles Monroe taught or what he really believed. What was going on in that church? I guess they never had an altar call over there. I guess they never invited people to accept Jesus Christ and be born again. Crazy. And notice that in this audio clip of Miles Monroe, he states that it was the devil who gets people to talk about the resurrection and to talk about the cross. The devil? The devil? Really, really bizarre. And so I would be very curious to know, to hear from people that actually, former members maybe of this church cult group who ran out the door when they realized that Miles Monroe was a false teacher. I would like to hear their testimony, and I'd like to know what went on over there. What really went on in this place that this man received all these invitations and had all these books out there and seemed to be very popular in some circles anyway. I wonder if they knew about this man's beliefs, because I don't know even if this man knew Jesus Christ in any way, shape, or form, if he was a born-again person himself, or where he wound up when that plane crashed. So it would be very, very interesting. Here's another clip from Miles Monroe. And, this one. He says Jesus never died.
Come on, give him a hand right there. Praise the Lord. He was carrying this gift. He said, now you can't get what inside of me until they open me. The Bible never says that Jesus really died, you know. The word used in the Hebrew is he breathed out. Expired is the word.
Shocking. Shocking. Okay, so if Jesus never died, so why did he, was he raised from the dead after 3 days? I thought that Jesus came to die. That was the reason that he came to earth, because he didn't have to come here. He was in heaven enjoying himself there, and he came here to earth to die. He knew why he was coming, and he said, no man takes my life, no man can take my life, but he was giving his life for us. So Miles Monroe makes the claim Jesus never died. Shocking. Here's another one. Miles Monroe says, don't talk about no blood. Don't talk about that to people, because they don't want to hear about blood in the boardroom. Oh, really? Okay, so what are we supposed to say? Are we supposed to say that when they were driving those nails or spikes into Jesus that there wasn't any blood that was shed? Is that what we're supposed to say? Are we supposed to not say that when they put a crown of thorns on his head and those thorns went into his head that he didn't bleed? Are we supposed to say there was no blood? Who is this? Who was this man? Who really was this man?
Do you know why the people on your job really ain't Christians right now? Because you are preaching to them Jesus Christ. Boy, it's tough to teach this. I feel like a man in the desert by myself. See, that's not what you're supposed to preach. You preach the kingdom of God to the folks on the job. Tell them that you can get your citizenship back. There is a kingdom that belonged to you before you was even born. You were born to be a part of a government rulership that have dominion of the earth. Your condition is not supposed to control you. You're supposed to control them. Your circumstances are supposed to run your life. You're supposed to run your circumstances. You're supposed to be dominating your finances and your emotions and your problems. You're supposed to be on top of this thing. Folks want to hear that. People ain't worrying about no blood or no cross. They're worrying about how they're going to make it through the day.
That's right.
This takes the pressure off you, you know? Because you don't want to be talking about blood in the boardroom. You don't be talking about blood on the school ground. You don't be talking about blood and nails and the spear in his side. Because that's not what you're supposed to be talking about. You got to talk about how to solve people's problems. That's good news. Say, hey, you know, this thing you're going through, yeah, man. There's a higher level of living you can live that can whip this thing. There's a higher attitude you could have. There's a higher vision you could have for your life that can overcome these problems. And man, this thing is for you free. And the person would say, well, how do I get there? Then you tell them about born again. The good news is not Jesus. That's tough for you to hear. The good news is the kingdom. He said it himself. Matter of fact,
oh Lord have mercy.
I can tell you a million scriptures. I don't know what to do, Lord. Jesus preached the gospel of the kingdom. Am I right? Say that with me. Jesus preached the gospel of the kingdom. Say it again. Jesus preached. He did not preach himself. This is tough on religious people. He preached what the gospel of, and then he said, this gospel of the kingdom will be preached on. He didn't say preach me. He said preach this gospel of the kingdom. What is gospel? The good news is the kingdom, not Jesus.
Can you believe it? Can you believe that this man was ever accepted in, I'm going to put it in quotes, Christian circles? Who was this man? Jesus is not the good news. Jesus didn't point people to himself. Jesus is the Word. He was the Word made flesh. What kingdom is he talking about? Just a great deception. A great deception. How? We don't know. I would say that many people probably heard of Miles Monroe, like myself. I never really listened to his sermons. I didn't really know what he was about. Thank God for the people on YouTube that posted these sound bites. They were out there uncovering the great deception of Miles Monroe's teachings. So that's why we thank God for the good Bereans out there and the people that do the research. So they're tracking these people and letting us know what they believe so that we're not deceived. Imagine the thousands of people that he has deceived over the many years that he was out there. And it was many years. The man was 60. So apparently he's been out there for many, many years teaching and preaching this false gospel. And a terrible false gospel that it is. So we know that Jesus said that people would make merchandise of you. And let's look at 2 Timothy 4. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. And that's what that sounds like to me. That sounds like a fable from Miles Monroe. All those quotes that I played, they sound like fables. And I don't know where Miles Monroe wound up. Let's look at 2 Peter 2. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Wow. So, I don't know. I don't know what went on over there. And like I said, there's an invitation if anybody wants to email me at susan@propheticnews.com. And if you came from that church, if you came from Miles Monroe's ministry, and you would like to share about what went on there, I would be very curious myself to hear some testimonies from people. But I'm just going to play now. This is a clip from the news, and it is the news of the plane crash. And I guess it was broadcast there in the Bahamas.
NB12 can confirm that Dr. Miles Monroe, his wife, and several others were killed in a plane crash at the Grand Bahama shipyard today as they were en route to a leadership conference on that island. Nine souls, including Dr. Monroe, who was 60, his wife Ruth Ann, and Dr. Richard Pinder, have been lost due to the Learjet they were flying on going down at the shipyard sometime after 5 this afternoon. The Department of Civil Aviation has confirmed that the jet, which departed Lyndon Pindling International Airport for Grand Bahama International Airport at 4:07 p.m. with nine people on board, crashed while making an approach for landing at Grand Bahama International Airport at 5:10 p.m. Reports are that the aircraft was flying low to avoid inclement weather and crashed into a structure at the shipyard. Eyewitnesses say the plane exploded on impact and crashed into the yard. At last report, we were told that there were no survivors. Civil Aviation said the Grand Bahama Airport Company Crash Fire Rescue Department responded to the incident, and the police and Bahamas Air Sea Rescue were on scene. Dr. Monroe was on his way to a leadership conference in Grand Bahama. He said the leadership conference was to highlight the leadership dilemma he says the country is facing, as older leaders are not passing the baton. While members of Bahamas Faith Ministries reacting tonight to Monroe's tragic death, Bonnie Toot has the story.
An emotional scene here at Bahamas Faith Ministries International, where hundreds of church members gathered after receiving reports that their president, Dr. Miles Monroe, may have died in a plane crash in Grand Bahama. Well, as they arrived here, they got the heartbreaking confirmation that Dr. Monroe, his wife Ruth Ann, their pastor Richard Pinder, two pilots, a foreigner, and others did in fact die in that plane crash in the Grand Bahama shipyard. As tears streamed down their faces, devastated members of Bahamas Faith Ministries International clung to each other for support. As news spread of Monroe's tragic death, church members trickled into the Diplomat Center at first, demanding answers. Then came the news everyone dreaded from Pastor Dave Burrows.
We unfortunately confirm that there was a plane crash in Freeport, Grand Bahama this afternoon. The aircraft involved belonged to Dr. Miles Monroe, founder, president, and senior pastor of Bahamas Faith Ministries International, who was on board at the time, along with his wife Ruth Ann and Dr. Richard Pinder, senior vice president and pastor of Bahamas Faith Ministries. There were additional passengers and two pilots on board. We are not able to release further information on the other passengers pending notification of kin. This is the current extent of information we have at this time, and we are preparing a further update and press release within the next few hours once we have received additional information. We are currently in contact with all of the relevant government agencies and aviation authorities in an effort to determine the events leading to this unfortunate tragedy. We thank all Bahamians and those who have called from the international community for your prayers and expressions of comfort.
Bose explained while Dr. Monroe and his wife were in Grand Bahama.
The reason for the trip was the conference in Freeport that was scheduled to begin tomorrow, and there were other members and employees of the church and other on a foreign visitor.
Burrows, who spoke with reporters following an emergency board meeting at BFM tonight, told reporters that both of Monroe's children are aware and they visited that crash site in Grand Bahama. He says Monroe would want them to move on.
We are all trying to console each other at this point in time because it's a terrible shock and it's very difficult for everybody. So we are just calling on the faith that we have.
Burrows added that Monroe was the foundation of BFM and everyone is in shock.
Dr. Monroe is our foundation. He's the visionary. He is the driving force behind everything that we have done, and he's been the inspiration for all of the people here in this boardroom and for people worldwide. We've already received calls from all over the world. I mean, many people, government officials, and so on. And so we really have to just get together as a church and regroup and determine where we go from here.
Board members say they plan to hold a prayer meeting tomorrow night, and they're not only inviting church members, but members of the public who would like to mourn the man who has touched so many lives. At this point, he says all they can do is pray. Prime Minister Perry Christie is currently holding a news conference on Dr. Miles Monroe's death at the office of the Prime Minister. We'll have that for you in a later newscast.
John 13:19. Now I tell you before it come, that when it...
Well, the be interesting to see what happens there. I found it very strange also in that comment that they said that Miles Monroe was the foundation. I thought Jesus was the cornerstone. I thought he was the foundation, not Miles Monroe. So I'll probably keep you posted on this story, and we'll see what happens over there. Probably what will happen is one of the children will take over. That's usually what happens in these cases. They usually groom their children to take over the ministry. And apparently it was a very financially successful ministry. They say that it was his Learjet. He owned the Learjet. I haven't been able to confirm that report, but that's what it was reported, is that it was his Learjet that crashed. And it looks like probably it will be pilot error. The weather was bad, and the pilot coming in for a landing didn't see the crane. And anyway, the plane crashed, and it exploded in midair there. So there are pictures of the wreck on the internet, and it was a big story. It was a big story. It made all the national news morning programs picked it up, and that's how I first heard about it on Monday morning. And then there was quite a few people posting things on Facebook, and that's how I came across a lot of these audio clips. So I thought, if I didn't know this information, there was probably many people that didn't know about Miles Monroe and who he really was. So I'm going to play a few of these audio clips from what happened there at the Washington Cathedral. And of course, we know, and like I said before, this is not really a Christian church. It is a magnificent structure, this cathedral that they built there in Washington, but it mainly seems like it is a one-world religious system building, and that's what it was designed for. It was designed to promote this false unity and to bring in this one-world religion, which some of these people seem to have bought into when they say foolish things like we're all praying to the same God. My God is not named Allah. So, no, we are not all praying to the same God. So,
let me explain the call for the prayer. The call for the prayer, it is being done in Arabic, and I'll like.
And what happened? What happened there is Christine got into the cathedral, and she stood up and said that Jesus Christ died on the cross for them, and that they should stay in their own churches, that they came to this country and they were allowed to build mosques, and that they basically didn't have any reason to be in a church. But of course we know that this, they wouldn't come, they, trust me, they would not come to, if I had a church, they wouldn't come to my church. They would never come inside my church. But they felt safe there because this is not really a Christian church. But I guess they had to be shocked. They had to be shocked that as somebody stood up in this place and talked about Jesus Christ, I'm sure they probably couldn't believe it. And I'm sure the news media couldn't believe it, that somebody actually would stand up and protest during these meeting, during this so-called ecumenical, we're all praying to the same God service. So it had to make an impact. Here's another clip.
Allahu Akbar, Allah.
The first Muslim prayer service to ever take place at Washington National Cathedral.
For we approach the same God, whose desire for our world is salam, shalom, peace. You are so very welcome.
Well, I think it really symbolizes how far we've come.
Respecting differences, that's what has strengthened America, and it will make us stronger.
The Episcopal Cathedral's decision to host Muslim Friday prayers, or Juma, sparked a heated conversation on social media. The Reverend Billy Graham's son, Franklin, posted on Facebook, "It's sad to see a church open its doors to the worship of anything other than the one true God of the Bible." Graham's full post is in our story on NBCWashington.com. News 4 viewer Debbie writes, "I just cannot understand this. Would they allow a Christian prayer service in a mosque?"
Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior.
A protester briefly interrupted the start of the service. She was quickly led away.
Thanks and glory be to Allah.
The South African ambassador offers a sermon condemning Islamic extremism.
We believe that the cathedral should be also used for other faith communities because we're a national cathedral.
The National Cathedral would like to hold interfaith prayer services like this one on a regular basis. They plan to reach out to various faiths and invite them in. At the National Cathedral, Kristen Wright.
They're going to have more of these prayer services, they said, and invite people in of different faiths. So we know what that's all about. We don't have anything in common with people that have different faiths, except that we are to witness to them and share the gospel, the good news of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the price that he paid for us so that we could have eternal life and have salvation. And no matter what they say, Jesus said, "No man comes to the Father but by me, through me." So whatever God that they're praying to, that's not the God that we serve. That's not the God that we know, because they don't believe, the Muslims don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They don't believe that. And so, but we can see kind of like the handwritings on the wall with the one world religious beast system that's coming. And of course, people that boldly proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, we're not going to be invited to these prayer services because they don't want to hear the truth. And why shouldn't somebody be able to stand up in a meeting and voice an opposition? Okay, they hauled her out of there. Well, I guess one of the reasons that they could have, they grabbed her and physically three or four men, and you can see the video is up on the internet, and you can just search for protester disrupts Muslim prayer service, and you can see the videotape. Of course, I guess they don't know when somebody is speaking out like that, if they could pose some kind of a danger. But three big strong men grab her and haul her out the door. But if they're allowing people to come in there and pray or do whatever, then why shouldn't somebody be able to stand up and voice opposition without being strong-armed out the door? I think that whenever you go to a public meeting, you should be allowed to voice your opinion if it is a public meeting. And so they did, but apparently I think that they only, it was an invitation only thing, and they didn't really invite the public, so they didn't want any opposition. They just wanted whatever they wanted to do there, and I'm sure they were shocked that that somebody actually had the nerve to talk about Jesus Christ there at the Muslim Hug Fest that they were having there. But, yeah, it, you know, if she had done that, say she was over in one of these Arab countries or Muslim countries and she had done that, she had gone to a mosque and done that, they would have probably immediately taken her out for a public execution. I don't know what would have happened to her in one of those countries. So, it's not a peaceful religion. I don't know of any real Christian churches with real Christians in it that haul people off from the church service for merely voicing an opposition. And if they do it, it has been done. It was done to David Lee at Potter's House, where they physically hauled him out of church for no reason except that he spoke out against tithing. Then those are not real Christian churches. We don't act like that. If people don't agree with us, they have a right not to agree with us. So we don't do things like that. So anyway, let me just play one more clip here from what went on there.
Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. We have built a lousy human mind in this country.
Let me explain the call for the prayer. The call for the prayer, it is being done in Arabic, and I would like to thank the Dean and Reverend Jean for inviting.
Anyway, they actually had a better soundbite up yesterday where you could actually hear her clearly, everything she said. And today, for some reason, when I went back to the audio portion, they seemed to kind of silence her and make her comments hard to hear, which was very suspicious to me because it was the same, I think it was the NBC website where I got that clip. But so possibly there's a better audio out there, which they didn't doctor, because she had maybe, I don't know, a minute or so, I would say, of a speech that she gave. And it's a little hard to hear now. And you don't get the whole context of the whole when she first stood up and she talked about Jesus Christ there. So, like I said, it was probably a major shock to everyone that was there. And it made the national news. It's been posted on many of the news reports on the internet. So very, very interesting. Very interesting. But I think we need more people that stand up for the truth. And I know a friend of mine, and I think she was right too when she said it, because sometimes it's a good idea to go to these telethons and these things that people are doing where they're conning people and fleecing people and going over there and speaking out. But there have been people that have gone to certain churches and certain ministries and they stood up and they spoke out against what they were doing, and they had them arrested. So a friend of mine said that as long as you're outside on public property and you're protesting, you can't be arrested. So that's something to remember, that if you go into these places And it's not a public place, which I think that this Washington Cathedral is probably a public place. So I don't know for sure, you know, if you can go in there and protest. If it is a public building, which it might be, then you couldn't be arrested because she wasn't arrested. But I know of someone that was in a Calvary Chapel church and stood up and while there was a false prophet there, and they stood up and they called out this false prophet, and the ushers hauled the guy out, and the church had him arrested, and he was a member of that church. So that's something to remember. I'm all for protests, and if you ever want to go down to the TBN studios or any of these other they call themselves ministries, but they're not, and protest, remember that as long as you're on public property, you cannot be arrested. But maybe once you go on their property, they could have you arrested. So if you don't want to go to jail, that might be something to remember because they don't care. They don't care about you. Trust me. If you go over there and you try to protest, like, say, for instance, Mike Murdoch's on one of these channels and you go over to one of his public meetings, especially when he's on TV, and you stand up and say, that's a lie, that's a lie, when he's preaching, they probably would have you arrested because you said that. And, you know, Mike Murdoch's the one that should be arrested for his scamming. But anyway, like I said, I'm all for public protesting. And if you want to have signs made, you can. There's a good website, Build a Sign. You can have a sign made for $10, $20, and you can take your sign and stand someplace. You know, at a Benny Hinn meeting, there's an evangelist on the internet that does that, and he preaches and warns people as they're going into the Benny Hinn services, and he stands on public property so he doesn't get arrested. And I think that's great, because the more of us that are out there telling people the truth and warning people about these wolves in sheep's clothing, we need more people to stand up for the truth. So if you want, get yourself a sign and go stand someplace outside one of these false churches and false television ministries, and let people know, warn them as they're going in the door. So get yourself a program on Blog Talk Radio. Anybody can have a program on Blog Talk Radio. You can have a 15-minute program every day for free. So we need more voices out there. I encourage people to get out there and preach the gospel and to preach it freely. Freely we have received, and we freely give. And so we put our faith and trust in God. Amen. Well, I want to thank you all for being with me today. All my friends in the chat room, thank you for coming by and for your comments. They're always greatly appreciated. And don't forget to check out the archives. There's some great programs there on the YouTube channel. Just posted some new videos up there, and we'll be updating that. So remember, Jesus Christ did say, ye must be born again. Read the third chapter of the Gospel of John. Jesus said, ye must be born again. Once you're born of your mother, and then ye must be born again by the Spirit of God. And being born again is a real experience. It really happens. The old life passes away, and you become new. God, and repent of your sins. Ask God to forgive you of your sins. And he wipes all your sins away. He wipes the past away, and he remembers it no more. And he gives you a brand new life. You can ask any of us that have been born again, and we will testify of the goodness of God and the mercy of God and how he's changed us, how he's changed our desires. And he's made us children of the King, we know that we have eternal life in Jesus Christ. I know I'm going to heaven, and it has nothing to do with me being a good person or any of that. It is only because of the blood of Jesus, the blood he shed for me on the cross. When he died, he rose again, and he resurrected into heaven. God bless you. Give your life to Jesus today. You'll never be sorry.
Be in heaven and there'll be no sorrow there.